Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Thank you all for joining us this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we want you to tune on in and call in with your comments. We're going to be reviewing a document that some have decided to put in force for their lives to make partnerships easier and less messy to dissolve. This is the life partner contract. And we'll go over each point today and talk about what it really means to establish a partnership with someone for co-parenting, cohabitation, even partnering in the process of building an economic empire. What do we want to do in a way that does not subject us to harm by the court system if we choose to part ways? We'll talk about that and other healing solutions to our broken families. We'll be right back after this quick message, and we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. So stay close. Call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. Would it be easier to marry if you could keep it open to other options without anger? We'll talk about that when we get right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Bianca.
Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategy with Donna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships.
Fourth
Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose.
Assalamu alaikum, Naima.
Assalamu alaikum, salam. We're here.
559325. Press 1 to speak to the host and
all right.
Be part of the solution.
And Grand Rising, and we're now joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, for an invigorating conversation, and assalamu alaikum to all of our American Muslim 360 family. So looking forward to your participation.
It's hard hitting.
Do we have any peace? And our people have been tricked. And if you got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated, huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and in enduring this time in your reading of Quran, that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people, and it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic Law Talk radio station in all of America.
And we are back.
Yes.
This is the broadcast of the Female Solution. Let me see if my co-host has joined us.
Yes, I have. Can
yes,
you hear me?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Naima. How are you this morning?
Wa alaikum salam. I am wonderful, blessed, and grateful, and so excited to be on another Wednesday show with my illustrious co-host, Kareem Hamid.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Well, we are so grateful for you and the American Muslim 360 family joining the Female Solution every Wednesday as we work out solutions to broken families. You know, on the Female Solution over this past week, it's been an intense kind of conversation that we've had, because there are families that are struggling with issues. We've talked about infidelity. We've talked about trust. You know, we've talked about a lot of things, and doing a lot of research. You know, again, I bring up the statistics that there's a correlation between the growing prison population and the broken families. And many of the families that break apart
is such acrimony, such anger, and such hostility that they bring with them to a court proceeding of divorce. And so some time back, we introduced a document, and I want to go over each point because there have been a few people who've asked, you know, they could have a copy of it. And so we're going to be putting it on our Female Solution website for people to download and use as a contract, a contractual agreement. It is called the Life Partnership Contract. And the idea is that if people can trust each other enough to spell out their agreement as a partnership, and they can give each other the freedom to leave if either of them or both of them decide that perhaps they've grown apart and maybe the harmony is no longer there, and so now their union is causing more hurt. They can part ways amicably. They can agree to still co-parent without using the children as weapons against each other. They can agree to split their whatever their assets are in a fair manner, 50-50, you know, whatever they put into the marriage, they can take back with them. You know, just being able to do this without having to involve lawyers that are going to take all your money and keep you fighting so they can keep getting paid, a legal system that if you've got minor children, they're, you know, using the children as weapons and negotiating tools. Well, if we can be more amicable, if we can make this agreement while we're still, you know, friendly and loving to each other in the beginning, even gives us a clause for if there is an issue involving another person, and this is probably the controversial part, but the idea is that as we evolve in our understanding of love, love is of one's free will. And it shouldn't be a punitive aspect of marriage that makes people fear it because they've seen what happens when their own parents divorce. They've seen the devastation of it. So we want to continue to form families because that does provide a foundation for healthy children. But we also want to instill respect. And we don't want to be manipulated by a legal system that takes advantage of our conflict and hurts the children ultimately. And we also want to be able to give each other the freedom to grow away, to grow with someone else, to grow without punishment so that we can stop breaking our families and leaving broken children. So this is what I'd like to explore today, and I want feedback from our listeners and viewers, and if you'd like to join me on Facebook and write in your comments, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and see us on The Female Solution. But I want to talk about this life partnership contract. I think the last time we spoke about it, someone said, well, who would enforce it? Well, that's the thing with any contract. It's like if you have, say, like if you have painting done on your home or you have, you know, the plumbing fixed in your home. You know, all you have is the contract with the worker, and they agree to do what you ask, and you agree to pay them, and, you know, you just agree, and you trust that there's going to be honor in that agreement, and they honor the agreement. Now, only if they really make a big mess that you have to call in the court system and have them sued. But you don't want that, especially if you have somebody that you trust. If you've got the same plumber that's been coming to your house and they do a good job, well, you don't expect to have to sue them because you know that they're honorable. So it should be the same thing with someone that you've been in a relationship for a long time. You trust them. You know they're honorable. You should be able to have a contract that you know they're going to honor, and you don't anticipate having to bring in the legal system in order for both parties to honor the agreement. So that's the premise of this conversation. So we're going to, you know, certainly get the views of those who are willing to consider how about we expand the idea of traditional marriage and remove other institutions from this agreement that really is between two people and those two people and their families. But certainly the idea is that the two people themselves should be able to handle this business without the state, without the fear of the court system, and have a contract that they're going to honor and enforce among themselves, just like you honor any other contract, without expecting to have to sue. So what are your thoughts, first of all, on the idea that people can do this contractually? And because the contract is legal, you could even have it, you know, stamped by a notary. But the idea is that you're going to honor it. And there are clauses, and we'll go over the clauses. There is an out clause. You know, there's expansion clauses. We're going to go over those. But the idea is that you're agreeing to be life partners and to – and I'll just read this first part, and then you can give me your feedback on that. It says life partner contract. That's at the top. And it says this agreement by and between – you just add your name, address, phone number, email – here and after referred to as husband and name, address, and phone number, email – that here and after referred to as wife is as follows. Husband and wife agree to live and work together in a loving partnership for the purpose of mutual, spiritual, emotional, and financial support in the striving to achieve individual and collective goals. Now that's the first part. So let me get your idea on that. Does that sound like a good premise for getting to get the other person?
You know, you just mentioned a legal contract.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, what makes the thing legal is the adherence or the adjudication of the legal system, you know, of the legal system. And we have to acknowledge that sometimes trust is a large issue among us, trust. And we may agree to something at the outset. But there are there is much that can happen in between the initial agreement and being the dissolution of that agreement. And you are so correct in that here's the sticking point, enforcement mechanism. How will this agreement be enforced if one of the partners decide not to actuate or continue with the amicable condition of the agreement? People they change their mind. We are sensitive people. We have sensitivities, emotions, and if someone breaks the contract, there has to be an enforcement mechanism. I can't see how, if it's a legal binding contract, it's a legal partnership contract. The very word contract brings in the legal system. It becomes legal. Unless both parties remain honorable and adhere to the agreed to articles on the contract, that's fine. But we are human, and sometimes humans they will renege on certain agreements, you know, that's just the nature of the human being. And who will enforce this partnership? It's wonderful to agree that we agree to work together for the benefit of both partners and the benefit of the sacred bond of marriage, because that's what it is. We can call it a partnership if we want to, but a marriage is actually it is consummated at the soul and heart level. The soul and heart level.
Yeah.
They are married for real. You know, with no, I'm just saying that marriage occurs long before there is a ceremony.
Absolutely.
But if people change their mind, if they fall out of love, or if one just acts just ignorantly, say, "Well, I'm not going to agree to what was signed." Where is the enforcement mechanism in that? Here we go. We're once again entering the legal system to come to a resolution of the agreed upon principles in the life partnership contract. It seems like that there is no way of getting around the legal system to enforce what was agreed upon. That's my take on that. That's where, you know, where the rubber meets the road. Will you honor the contract? People give their word, and they are capable of breaking them. So that's my question on this life partnership contract. Who will enforce what has been written? Who will enforce that?
Go ahead. You're in the middle of a thought. Go ahead.
Right. If you at one time we had head of household, and head of household, I'm not talking about the small family unit. I'm talking about the expanded family, the uncles, the aunts, grandmothers, and grandfathers. And at one time, the patriarch and matriarch of families, their word meant something. Their judgment meant something. And they would arbitrate between differences. That seems to have devolved now. And now we have the legal system to enforce what the agreed upon agreement, and our children are somewhat left in an insecure situation when mother and father separate. There's a loss of security. So the children are one of the main objects of the life partnership contract, that there may be children coming from out of this union. And what will their state be? You know, yes, we can say, well, yes, you live where you live, I live where I live, and we parent our children. Well, that's the best that we can do, but still children desire a strong household. They desire mother and father being with each other and them living together, experiencing mother and father together. Our character is called into question. Our moral character, our behavior, can we be entrusted to keep what has been written in the life partnership contract? And if not, then what is the next step? how do we enforce it?
And you brought out some excellent points. You definitely brought out some excellent points, which brings up the topic of just the word itself, enforce. Now, if love is of one's free will, then if the relationship is based on love, there should never be force. There should be a free will agreement. So even the spirit of it has to be right from the beginning. So if you need something to be forced, then it's not love. And this is why we have to have the right foundation. Now, you mentioned the way families were when you had the elders that pretty much were the governing body. And in many families, that worked well when both sides, both in-laws, were really working toward helping a couple to iron out their differences. But like you noted, we don't have that now because we have too many broken people who've had children, people who've got their own personal problems, their addictions, their bad habits, their bad character. So they don't have the wisdom to be able to guide people. So now we've got the legal system. The same thing with our children. You know, when parents are dysfunctional and then the state has to step in and raise your children and send them to foster care. So the whole breakdown of the family has brought the government in a way that is really obscene at this point. These are family issues, and the dissolving of our families have left us at the mercy of a legal system that exploits us and profits from us, but does not help us to join together in unity. So first, let's look at what needs to be the character of the person that you would get into this contract with, and it has to be someone that you trust that you're coming together with for the purpose of love and to work together in harmony. Now, if you don't trust that they, even in anger, can adhere to this contract, then maybe they're not the person. Or if you don't think you will, if you get mad, you're going to tear it up and say, forget it, then you're not ready for this. This is for people of higher consciousness who want to be able and give their children the protection of a family and spell out the agreement, but also to keep control over when and how, if they're going to dissolve this, so that it doesn't end up in a messy legal battle with the lawyers and judges and everybody else profiting off of this couple's change. So we have to be wiser and think back to the time before everything was government run. Centuries ago, the government was not involved in marriage per se. It was the family. Even in the structures where, you know, ultimately the law recognized a couple as, you know, you are a family, you're a couple, but still this extreme interference of the legal system, has it brought our families together in more harmony, or has it caused more division? And some people might say, well, it's made it fairer for women because, you know, women used to really get a raw deal. You know, a man decided he's done with her, he kicks her out, she's destitute and homeless, so now she can sue. Well, once again, are we coming together for the right reasons? Because there was a time when marriage was all about a woman finding somebody to take care of her. And so she more or less was at the mercy of a man who might decide he didn't want her anymore and she didn't have the means to take care of herself. She had to go back to her family and all of that. Now that people are all adults, independent, self-sustaining people, our reason for marriage is different. It's not so much based on need for caretaking, but mutually taking care of each other and mutually respecting each other. So are we ready to evolve to a higher level of partnership where there is respect enough to honor an agreement that we have made? And if we're able to do this, then we can protect ourselves, our property, our families from a lot of pain that comes from having to sue people because we haven't honored an agreement. And I think it comes down to, is the person that you're considering such an agreement with emotionally ready to be in a kind of relationship that's based on trust and honor? So, but we're going to, we've got some callers on the line. We got to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to read a few more paragraphs. And you give me your feedback on that. And also we'll take some calls. We would like.
Yeah, we have a, yes, we have a caller here on the AM360 studio board.
Well, all right.
So
we'll
after these breaks, we'll open
calls.
Up the line.
All right. Well, we'll take those calls when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call. You can call in 515-605-9891. That's American Muslim 360's line. Or you can call in 515-605-9325. And you can also write in your comments on our Facebook and YouTube page on the Female Solution, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. We'll be right back after this break to take your calls and give you some more on the life partnership contract. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green.
on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soul for Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, and we are looking forward to your comments as we review the Life Partnership Contract. Our goal is to rebuild our families. They've been broken for various reasons, economic, social, even political, but so much has impacted our children, and our children are growing up without a protective family and community, and people are afraid of marriage because the breakup is so horrendous. It's so devastating, and people are profiting from our pain. So can we take back control of our families in a way that is healthy and builds trust? So we've talked about, you know, the first clause in the life partnership contract, which kind of defines what it is you're agreeing to. And that has changed over the years. And I believe we're back with our co-host. You know, it used to, even the vows used to, you know, there was a change because it used to be a love, honor, and obey clause with the women or were agreeing to obey the man. And then, you know, the man agreeing to love, honor, and cherish and all that. And that sounds nice. The obedience thing, a lot of current vows take that out because it really puts a woman in a position of being a child, and it's demeaning. And if we're going to evolve, there has to be an understanding of what this relationship looks like. And how do you have a mutual, respectful relationship with each person feeling as if they're honored? And this is what we are aiming to define with this partnership. So we've got several callers here on the line, but I'm going to read a few more clauses and then get some comments from our listeners and our co-host. So the next item. Oh, and for those who just joined us, let me read the first one. It says, husband and wife agree to live and work together in a loving partnership for the purpose of mutual spiritual, emotional, and financial support and the striving to achieve individual and collective goals. Husband and wife agree to speak to each other and treat each other with kindness and compassion and to openly discuss all issues affecting their daily lives with the intention of maintaining mutual emotional well-being. Husband and wife agree to work as an equal partnership and use mutual consultation in the making of decisions affecting household management, family relationships, child rearing, business and employment acquisition, financial obligations, health and wellness habits, and social activities. Husband and wife agree to approach all moments of intimacy with kindness and consideration of each other's moods and feelings, and with a conscious sensitivity that if the wife is of childbearing age, their sexual intimacy could result in the conception of life. I'm going to stop right there. We've got several more clauses, but I'm going to stop right there and get your feedback. And I think one of the things that might kind of rub some of the traditional men a little difficult is that, you know, they want to hear, where's the man, the head of household? And,
you know, your relationship that you have with the person that you're involved with. It has to be respect there. You know, that's not something you can make happen. That has to be something that can be. There are a whole lot of people who said vows where the wife said, I'm going to love, honor, and obey my husband. And she, you know, was the most abusive, disrespectful, dishonest, dishonoring person. But she said, oh, I'm going to obey. So let us then first look for someone who already respects us, because that has to be in the heart. But I know that there are some emotions about that. And I certainly want to hear feedback as far as how we create this partnership agreement and men still feel that they are respected as men, because that's been a large part of the conflict between us. So would you like to take your call first? And I've got we've got three who've raised their hand on our switchboard so far, and the rest of you all who are listening in, feel free to press one whenever you've got something to say. But go right ahead. You want to take a call, Brother Kareem?
Yes. Yes. We have two hands raised here.
Okay.
Error code 724-866. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
724-866. This is Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, Pennsylvania. I was wondering, in the drawing up of this contract, life partnership contract, how much consultation did we do in reference to the Quran that as Muslims we should be guided by the guidance of Allah through the Quran? How much have we looked into what is said about marriage and the children, our financial obligations and all that, in reference to the Quran? Has the Quran been used as the guide? I guess that's what I'm saying. And I thought as Muslims, that's what we should always do. Consult with what Allah says.
Well, I thank you so much for that question, Sister Gail. I really do. And let me speak from the heart before we take the next caller. In the Quran, just as in the Bible, many of these documents and relationships were formulated at a time when women were not as respected as they are today. They were not as independent as they are today. We have evolved as a human family, and much of the Quran was written during a time when women were not as independent, self-sustaining, and were not as vocal as they are now. And even the reasons for marriage have evolved, because at that time, much of it was about a woman being taken care of by a man. That no longer exists. And brothers, I'm sorry, that's not going to. World War II happened, and women entered the workforce. That changed the culture forever. And we must now look at what our partnerships are based on. So in terms of the Quran, now we know the principles of honor and respect are there, but how do we translate that as a behavior toward each other? It's implied, but many of the cultural things are based on an Arabic culture of 1400 years ago that does not apply to our present day circumstances. And this is why so many relationships based on religion are falling apart, because they're not addressing our current situation But the principles of good treatment, those are what is foundation of the Holy Quran, the Holy Bible. And yet that is what doesn't get enacted when couples come together for the wrong reason or with another agenda other than honoring and respecting each other. So this contract deals with what should be the reason, which is the honor and respect of each other, and spelling it out on how that is to be handled on a day-to-day basis in various situations so that we're not just quoting scripture and abusing each other, which is what we're doing in Islam and Christianity and Judaism and all the other faiths where people are not honoring each other from the heart.
I understand what you're saying, but I think it's not so much as quoting scripture that we have to get into understanding scripture and why Allah has put certain things in an order that will help, that has always been, if we understand and follow it, that it will always be the best for the human family and for humanity. So I think we have to go back with a renewed level of understanding and look and see what Allah, because surely anything more that we can draw up cannot replace what Allah has. We have to see where we as humans erred, which I think you're trying to get in this contract, still has to be Quranically based, I think, to come from us as Muslims, because that's where our guidance comes from, what Allah has put in the Quran.
Well, as I read these
I think there's provisions for all that are in there in the Quran. We have to go back and look at it maybe with a renewed mind for the male and the female to do that. And maybe we should set sessions and, I mean, you know, have the contract and the Quran there together and see where what you're proposing, to see if it's in the Quran and to see that we maybe have been misguided in our understanding and are looking at other cultures, because if we're coming with a new world order or a new change or a higher consciousness, I don't think we should err on the side that Allah did not provide for that consciousness and that spirituality and all those things. He has provided us with that. We have to evolve up to that. But I don't think that the Quran, it should be looked at the highest form of knowledge. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, and used as a guide to bring us up to that and see where we erred. Because I think from reading the Quran and stuff, I do see a lot that you have in there, the principles are there. And I think we have misunderstood them. And I think we have, misunderstood how Allah has and in the practices. And I think that's where your contract is going, is that we have not practiced what Allah has suggested or what Allah has given us as guidance in the Quran. We have not practiced that.
Well, I certainly agree that when a person has higher consciousness, then they can see where the guidance is in our holy book. But if it's not in your heart, and I believe there's a verse, I don't remember where it is, that when someone's heart is right, then they will look for the verses where it's very clear. And when it isn't, then they'll look for the ones that's subject to interpretation. And when people are trying to find a loophole to do wrong with somebody, that's what they do. So in this contract, it basically deals with principles of right living and right treatment. If a person is saying they follow the Quran, there should be no conflict between this contract and what they say they're following. But if they're trying to find a way to not treat someone well, then they'll have issue with a contract that says, I agree to treat you well, because that's all it's saying. You know, where in Islam or anywhere does it say, well, I reserve the right to be mean to you or to beat you or be cruel to you if I feel like it? Because if that's what's in somebody's heart, and then there's a contract that says, I'm agreeing to be kind to you, I'm agreeing to be honest with you, I'm agreeing to share with you. And they read and say, well, that's not in the Quran. Well, yeah, it is, but you didn't see it because you weren't looking for it because that's not what you wanted to do. So I agree with you. All the principles are there in the Quran. This spells it out in today's language exactly what that means in terms of behavior. And if anybody objects to that, you have to wonder, well, what's in your heart? What are you trying to do that you don't want to sign a document that says you're going to treat me right? Why wouldn't you want to do that? So
prior to this contract, what document were people signing?
They're signing this contract. You see, when you get married,
and I'm saying prior to, because I have no clue what people. It's just like a prenuptial contract.
Right? Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Okay, yeah. So in the prenuptial contract, I don't know. I guess it's open to what people, those two people that are signing the prenuptial contract, what they want to include in that.
So here again, this is an agreement for those who may not be religious, for those who may not want to even go through the legal marriage system because they don't trust the courts, they don't trust it. Maybe they had a bad divorce or whatever. Maybe they came out of it scarred. They said, I want a relationship, but I don't know if I should try to marry again because of what this system does to people if they choose to break up. So once you get to a point of trust, and it's really based on trust, you have to trust someone enough to believe that you are going to abide by this agreement, and it spells out what you agree to do. It's not subject to interpretation the way a religious doctrine written in flowery language might be subject to interpretation. This is, it's real basic. And what would be the objection to someone saying, I agree to treat you well? You'd have to ask yourself, if someone would hesitate to sign a document that says, I'm agreeing to be fair with you, what's in their heart? Why don't they want to agree to what your relationship should be based on, which is mutual respect?
I agree with the what you're saying, but I still think that we as Muslims should do a comparative thing with everything that we do. And I think if sometimes we could get so caught up in wanting contracts, because actually the contract is binding us legally to, like I think what Kareem was trying to get at, it's the enforcement of that. And one part of, I guess I'm saying I appreciate the efforts in this, but I still think as Muslims we have to use the guidance of Allah, because it's so broad and in our lifespan for the human being that surely Allah, as looking at, you know, when he gave the guidance, and if Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet and the seal of the message to man, the Quran has all that we need in there, but it's like the interpretation, and I don't think we need to say the religion, it's man that has not applied the religion or the guidance of God in their practices. That's where the problem is. And as I continue to listen to your agreement, and, you know, we, like you said, we all have to come then to the conclusion if this is something. But as we put this contract, as we're studying words, so what is a contract?
Right.
It's, you know,
work.
Still,
yeah, right.
That a contract is a legal binding thing, and all through the Quran, it talks about contracts and witnesses and you know, even in Islamic marriages, you have people witness that. But I think it has been the practices in a different culture other than one that is established on an understanding of the Quran. Because most Muslim countries even do not, their government, as far as from what I would understand, Imam Muhammad has given us guidance on, that most Muslim countries are not based on, their governmental system and all that is not based on the principles in the Quran. And like I said, I haven't studied that myself, but that I'm just trusting in the guidance that he has given us to give, you know, how important words are to make us. But I think we have to be careful that we don't evolve out of a human and a structural thing that Allah has provided for us. Because from different Muslims that I know, have come from different countries. Some of the conflicts that when you come to America, as far as the woman not being respected and things like that, some of them do not have that. And I think we need to be promoting the more positive things too in marriages. And of course we have to look at those that are failing and see what we're doing, but in reference to the guidance that God has given us in his scriptures.
So Sister Gail, I want you to continue to listen and hear. If you hear anything that is in any way contradictory to the principles outlined in the Quran. And so far, if we're talking about love, honor, respect, all of those things are part of what should be part of a marriage. So I haven't heard any contradictions at this point if we're saying what we intend to do with the person that we're joining together with is to love and honor and respect them and share with them. If we're agreeing to that and that is what is in the Quran, there should not be any contradiction. Like you say, if people really understand the scripture, there shouldn't be a contradiction at all. So we appreciate you.
May lend a very short commentary on this.
Yeah, well, we've got four people over here to speak, so yeah. Go right
okay.
ahead.
It is what Almighty God has revealed has not failed us. This is not a general statement, but it has not failed us. We have not lived up to the revealed word of God. No matter what label you put on it, partnership and all of that, if you're not living up to the principle that already exists from Revelation, what is the motivation to live up to a document gleaned from the principles of Revelation? Man has to live up. The revelation has not failed us. We have failed to live up to the revelation. And by way of scripture, this is not just something, principles that just Muslims adhere to. For we are as Muslim men, we are allowed to marry women of the book, Christian women. So these principles flow through the stream of revelation. The stream of revelation we have to live up to what we profess as Christians, Muslims, and Jews. The revelation has not failed us. Too many of us have failed to live up to the revelation. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a few calls, but before then, I'm going to read two more clauses, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about that, and, you know, take a call from our switchboard and take another call from your switchboard back to our switchboard. So we're going to alternate, you know. And so now, two more clauses. Husband and wife agree to act with honesty, equity, and fairness in the sharing of time, skills, talent, property, and financial resources to aid in their individual and mutual advancement. Husband and wife agree to maintain up-to-date records of property ownership, deeds, wills, life insurance policies, health insurance policies, health care records, health care power of attorney documents, financial power of attorney documents, and list of beneficiaries to be kept in a location known and accessible to both husband and wife for the purposes of enabling husband and wife decisions on each other's behalf according to the guidelines contained in these official documents in case either partner should become ill, incapacitated, or make a transition from physical life. Husband and wife agree to each attach to this document a list of current assets, which will become the collective property of the partnership. In the event of a dissolution of the partnership, husband and wife agree to return all property to its original owner prior to this partnership agreement. So now, I want you all to chew on that for a minute, and when we come back, we'll take some more of your calls. And as you can see, this spells out things a whole lot more detailed than the implications that might be in a religious document. But this is very specific
conflicts that come about. The Quran goes into detail. It goes into detail concerning the division of property. It's not just a glossing over. There are percentages and detail that Almighty God has given us. It's not just principle. God takes us into the detail. And let me say this by way of accountability. You know, there is no, how can I say, that unless one feels accountable to an authority that is over them, then there is no inducement to follow what you have agreed upon. There is no way of getting around that. So, there has to be a higher authority in your life beyond court, beyond the courts and all of these other systems. And we cannot divorce ourselves from the word of God. He who created us shall guide us. We, the human being, has failed and I don't mean everyone, but we have to live up to the guidance that God has imparted to us. Islam, it liberated women. It encourages the education of women. The Prophet Muhammad said, any who educates two daughters, education, knowledge, any who educates two daughters are guaranteed paradise. So that is the equality and the liberation that Al-Islam brought to the world, the education of women. I'll stop right there. Praise be to God.
Well, we'll come back and talk more about that after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and press 1. And we're going to, when we come back from the break, area code 863-816, you're next. And we got 3148. Let me see. I think somebody disappeared. We've got 779-801 and 773-737 and 773-977. Somewhere in there, we're going to go back to the American Muslim 360 switchboard.
I've got 727-916 on our line, too.
Okay. Well, we'll take that one after we take 863, so we'll be right back. after this quick break, we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, this is Sharon Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We've got an invigorating conversation today as we brought up the life partnership contract. We've had a number of listeners who have asked for this contract. They have presented it to their potential life partners, and some of them, for various reasons, want to be able to have a partnership, an agreement, that can perhaps prevent the ugliness that comes if a relationship ends. And we have seen so many court shows where people who are cohabitating and they're arguing over property because maybe they don't have, maybe they were living together and it wasn't clear, well, you know, was this thing you gave me, was it mine or can you take it back? And then you have people who are married and suing each other over custody. And then you have situations that happen if someone
unmuted
and who's to handle their affairs. So one of the reasons why we developed this contract was to spell out some very specific things that might be implied in a religion, but don't get followed because everybody brings to the religion their interpretation of what that means. So in this
document written in plain language makes it clear of the specific behavior and the specific documents that should be brought into the marriage when it comes to the finances and the health care and all of these things, specific things that we understand are necessary and can prevent a mess. I think our previous caller mentioned like a prenuptial agreement. But this is kind of like that. But this is the nuptial agreement. This is the document that you're agreeing to abide by. And so far, everything in there sounds like it is what the spirit of our religious texts are putting forth, but that we haven't followed the reason why we have this 50-plus percent divorce rate, even in our religious communities. So let me go to our phone line, and let's see. I think we had a call that dropped, but I'm sure they'll be calling back in. So in the meantime, we're going to go to area code 773-801. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thought about the life partnership contract. Have you heard anything in there that you find objectionable, or have you heard some things in there that would perhaps clarify some of our relationships? Area code 773-801.
779.
I'm sorry, my fault. 779-801. Oh, we have 863 is back, so we'll take you after that. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, greetings and assalamu alaikum. I want to first applaud you for your effort. Yes, I want to applaud you for your effort and scholarship in putting together this platform. First of all, I find nothing objectionable. I find that it helps to clarify things that are not clarified in the beginning of a relationship. And I think that that is very necessary. I think that it's important that we don't look to the past, religious books being of the past, to determine whether or not something is acceptable or not. We should determine whether or not it's an adverse objection to anything that we believe or practice in our religion. And I don't find anything. I'm a nonviolent practitioner, which simply means I follow the teachings of Yeshua ben Joseph, often called Jesus the Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount. I don't find anything objectionable to nonviolence at all in the life partnership agreement that you put together. And I was pretty disturbed by the sister, I think her name is Gail, because instead of coming to add to the situation, she was trying to act as if it was a problem within it, but she never stated what the problem was, that it was somehow adverse to something within the Quran. I didn't hear state that. And yet it is very clarifying in terms of helping people to understand what they're getting involved in when they get into a relationship, a marriage, or a partnership. So thank you, Naima, for what you did. And I think, Sister Gail, you should rethink your thoughts on this situation rather in terms of whether it's for or against the Quran. And if you find something, whereas it's against something in the Quran, then you have something to speak to. Otherwise, you're finding a problem and thus creating a problem when there is no problem. Thank you, Naima. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for your input. Thank you.
Let me say this, please. May I say this?
Oh, go right ahead.
Have you read, this is to the listening audience and everyone, have you read the Quran?
Are you asking me that personally?
That's my question.
Have you read the Quran? Right, absolutely.
Well, then you are well aware, of the specific detail that Almighty God has commanded in the marital and family and the distribution of assets, inheritance. You are aware of that, of detailed information. So, and if you, let me say this to us as human beings, if we won't follow the word of God, then what make us think that we will follow something other than the word of God? God is the accountable. He makes us accountable. That is the enforcement, the God consciousness. That is the enforcement of the honorable declarations that we make. I'll stop right there.
I'd like to respond to that. I'd like
all right.
To respond
we're
to that. Respond
and then take another call. But go right ahead and respond to that, yeah.
Yes, I'd like to respond to that in the sense that time has passed, and as time has passed, situations have changed. And as a result, there are things that we need to take into account that were not taken into account during the times that certain books of the past were written. For instance, as was stated earlier, there was a time when women were denounced, demeaned, and disrespected. Times have changed. Clarity has to be stated in terms of what is needed now in order for life to proceed in a peaceful manner. That cannot be denied. If it's denied, then somebody's not being real. I mean, within the Quran, it doesn't tell you how to fix a pipe. But somebody has to write a book about plumbing. It does not take away from the Quran that plumbing has been included in a book. It does not take away from the Quran that electricity has been included in a book. It didn't exist when the Quran was written. So in the sense of being real about what we're presented with now, we have to relate to things based on the reality of our existence. That's my response to you, Brother Kareem, and anybody else who has that particular issue.
And my response to that is that God is, that Almighty God is foreknowing. He is foreknowing by way of the professions that we are in. God says, be just, be honorable, do not cheat. Do not cheat. So those are specifics. But some plumbers have done irreparable harm because of unfair their business practice. God has spoken to that. That when you enter into any contract, bring your witnesses with you. See, so Almighty God is far knowing. He is not limited. He gives the best advice as far as we can look into the future. He knows us. He knows us. If we just adhere to the principle, the human being has not changed.
When I brought up plumbing and electricity, I wasn't relating to contracts between people
or
how people treat people. I agree. That's in the book.
Those principles enunciated by Almighty God, they are universal, and they are never abrogated of honesty. Honesty, good human character. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't steal. Give fair balance in your judgment. So those are principles that reach all the way into the future. Into the future. Be fair in your business deal.
So,
God is not limited.
Well,
God
is
never limited.
One thing, Brother Green, that we acknowledge that everybody in the world is not a Muslim. Everybody in the world is not a Christian. And that's the reality. And we can't make
this is an appeal to the human family. This
absolutely.
is not these principles. We got are about not five aimed at one religion.
I guess you and Maika's conversation has sparked some response. We got about five people who want to speak now, and I don't know how many you got on your support. But let me go to 863.
Can I open up 727-916 if I may?
Yes, and then 863-816. You're next after that. So hold on.
Okay, 727-916. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you, thank you. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, and acknowledging I've heard conversations, so I won't repeat. I will definitely say whatever the human being desires is desired out of the realm of the Creator. Nothing we devise, design, or create is outside of that realm. So the Creator has to be given due acknowledgement. Now, not to force. You can't force a person to stand up and say, I believe. No, the mere fact that we're breathing, the mere fact that we have sight, we have hearing, we have the ability to understand and be rational. That's where when we reduce anything, and Almighty God does say, reduce it to writing. I mean, the understanding is there. So alhamdulillah. As you say, contracts will come and they will go based on the time span, based on what we're doing, but it always will come within the folds, within the realms, and acknowledging the Creator. If we step outside of the Creator acknowledgement, acknowledging the Creator, then we're already seeking failure because the ill will has already become a partner in the plan. So if we seek the Creator's help, whatever we call the Creator, we can say the all-knowing, we can say the everlasting, whatever it is, that respect, just the mere fact of respect between two individuals, whatever we do, that contract is already written within Almighty God's plan. So we're not giving something special to someone who does not declare to be Muslim or I say we're not giving. The contract that I've heard read so far is already in God's plan. So we either acknowledge it or we don't and stand true to it. So inshallah, assalamu alaikum. God's peace be upon you.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Sister Martha Nyla. We appreciate you so much. Now I'm going to open the mic for 863, and then I'll read a couple of more spots, and then we can open some more callers' mic. Area code 863-816, Grand Rising. If you're still there listening and viewing, honest, and give us your thoughts about the life partnership contract so far. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning, all. L.A., Central Florida. Just real quick for me, if I do it again, I believe in a marriage contract. I would bet sort of like baseline on the book, The E-Myth. I would have a mission statement, one sentence long, a vision statement of what that mission statement would look like, one sentence long. What's the purpose of that particular marriage? What's the family product? And I'm getting this from not only The E-Myth, but I study like some of the most successful families that we have right now that have been around for like over 100 years, you know, or more. So what's the family product like? The Toyota, that's a family-based business. Ford, I mean, you still have descendants from Henry Ford still living, participating in the Ford business, which is a family business. Korean Air, that's a family-based business. Even the Amish and the Mennonite communities, those are family-based business. So, you know, what does the family produce? What's the family product? That would be in my, contract. Family compliance, that'll be based on, that's the legal part. If you have a family trust set up, and one of the requirements is the family get together every 90 days for compliance. And a lot of that's legally based. And then just to round it out, unifying principles. Unifying principles are like the Ten Commandments. You don't have to have 10 of them. But, you know, what are the unifying principles to keep everything on track? That'll land my plane there.
All right. Well, I thank you so much, Ellie. I think that makes a lot of sense. Have a family plan, because a family is a business, you know, and the participants are like a corporation. But we have a lot of broken corporations because a lot of anger. It's been said emotions make people just decide to disavow whatever they agreed to, religion or no religion. You know, I'm going to read a couple of more points here. Husband and wife agree to treat all members of each other's family with kindness, consideration, compassion, and respect, including parents, siblings, children, and all members of the extended families of both parties, including any adopted children or children from previous relationships. Husband and wife agree that all children from their union and children from previous relationships shall be afforded equal rights of inheritance to all property jointly owned by the partnership and shall have an equal share of distribution of assets at the passing of the members of the partnership. So now, those which deal with finances, and I understand, you know, there are some things in the Holy Quran that deal with finances. The way the division is of finances has to do with a culture that, again, did not have equal financial power for women. Things have changed, and I understand, and this is not to disavow anybody's religious beliefs or practices, but I have a friend who's a marriage counselor, and she said, you know, the people who were the most vicious coming into her office were the religious people. Because they were the ones throwing the book back at each other. Well, you're supposed to do this according to the Bible. You're supposed to do this according to the Quran. The most vicious. And I'm not saying that they won't be vicious under a contract, but I'm saying this spells out specific behaviors. And if you're not of the right heart, then you're going to find fault with it because you aren't in the right heart in the first place. Something that leaves no doubt and is not subject to interpretation, why would you hesitate unless you're looking at, well, I don't know if I want to. You know, what if I don't want to do this, or do I really trust him? So I think this poses the issue of lack of trust that we have. If the idea is somebody has to enforce it, that means you're not really trusting that person that you're marrying to honor their agreement. If you feel like you need to have it enforced by the law, then it's not really based on love. And if it's not based on love, what kind of union is it? So we got to look at why are we getting married? You know, in the past, things were forced and punishable. And now the law punishes, but the children suffer, and we have broken families. So can we actually create families based on love and trust and an agreement that is specific about how things are to be handled financially and emotionally and even spiritually, how we're going to treat each other without it being subject to biased interpretation. So we got to take another break. Before we take a break and go back to some more callers, I'm going to read a few comments coming to us from our Facebook viewers. And Jody Susan Calhoun says, if there is no respect, there is no relationship. And she says, respect is different for everyone, so you need to understand that definition for your partner. And Viada, Grand Rising Viada. And Viada says, you may have to elaborate on what it means to be treated fairly, because yeah, that's when those words can be subject to interpretation. Jody says, people twist many things. That happens. And Zelda says, Grand Rising, this contract sounds better than the age-old tired death do us part verbiage we learned and try to carry out. Really outdated vows. This contract sounds so much better. Please post on your blog or website. Thank you. Yes, we're going to post this on the website, and we've got some more comments we'll take afterwards. We're going to deal with that till death do us part, because sometimes you do part, and sometimes things change, and we need to not attach shame and blame when people grow apart or say they failed at marriage, as long as you both agreeing with your free will. And you need to be able to part
without it being ugly. That's what we want to try to create. Partnerships that are loving, based in love, and even when they part, they're still love. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, make sure our listening audience can hear. And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we're talking about the life partnership contract. We've got another caller on the line. I'm going to open the mic. Let me know if you've got another caller on your line. I'm going to open the mic for 773-977 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about the life partnership contract.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And God bless everyone today. This is Lois here in Chicago, Illinois. You know, I can say that I've made three contracts. One, 16 years old. I do the updo's part, all that, worst thing in the world. Anyway, divorcing that, I'm going to the second one. And I do, honest to death, do, the third time it came up, when it came to that part, I told the preacher, I said, wait, I don't even want to hear that part. I said, I don't want to hear, just give us a prayer. We say, I do, and we go take care of business in this contract of marriage. So I tried it both ways, getting the contract and making your own agreement. So it's all up to God. And what you said earlier, it's all in the heart. The heart is the most important of it all, the heart. Thanks so much for this time. God bless you all. And sometimes we do things and say things that we should not say. And when God puts it on your heart, so if you will allow me to make a public apology to Vieta, because the pictures were not as I thought they were, and I must apologize from my heart. The text I received, you're absolutely correct, and I will not make that mistake again. And, you know, if you're going to get married, let God send you someone. If you get out there and choose something, I don't care what denomination, if you let God send it to you, you got yourself something. Thank you, and God bless. Love you.
Thank you, Lois. I just love you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. Yes. So do you have a caller on your switchboard, another caller, Brother Kareem?
Yes, we do. I think this is Minister Plump.
Okay, Minister Plump. Okay.
671.
All right, Minister Plump, let us know. What do you think about the life partnership contract? And then we've got two more callers on our switchboard after that and a few more clauses I'm going to read so we can hear the whole thing. But go ahead, Minister Plump.
We are in Yah Shalom. Assalamu alaikum, beloved. Yes, I do agree with the life-giving marriage contract. And the best of the best is always God's will, and that would create our success, bring success in every marriage. I would also like to encourage a marriage in a PMA way, positive mental attitude, and with the help of Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and God of Gods. We can be successful, and I'm always willing to marry brothers and sisters up, whether they are Hebrews or Muslims or Christians or as they say, those that believe in another way of life. So people can always contact me at 312-671-2773 and give me a date and a time that they'd like to get married, and we'll make sure that we get the job done.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Minister Plump. Ready to marry y'all. All right. Thank you. Okay, so let me read a couple more clauses, and let me let you all know. Ahead of time. Oh, well, before I read the clause, let me read a couple of more comments from our Facebook family. We've got, Vieta says, the holy books are only guidelines, and we need to focus on our soul journey and living a harmonious life with nature. Okay. Thank you, Vieta. And Vieta also says, God is not a he. All right, that pronoun thing. Yeah, that's a whole conversation. We'll have to have a whole show on that itself. And Maika says, Allah is not dead and still speaks through living beings. Ah, yes. Well, of course, we must know that there are those, you know, we all can get revelation and inspiration. And Maika says, books are the letter of the law and interpreted by living and sometimes flawed individuals. Yeshua had this problem when dealing with the ruling class. And he said, you deal with the letter of the law. I deal with the spirit of the law. Thank you, Maika. Yes. Great master teacher among us said that sometimes people's interpretations are flawed. And Viata says, good for Lois. Oh, and she's been to her heart. I just love my sisters. Thank you, Viata. And lastly, I'm gonna read this one a little later as we get closer to the end of the show, so I can keep that.
We have a caller here on the AM360 board, name.
Okay, so let me take one from our board, and then I'll read some more of this contract, and then I'll take the caller from AM360. So let's go to 773-737 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us this morning. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience.
Hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. Way O in Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is the actual Hebrew sacred name for God. And this is Mama D. It is written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. How was it in the beginning? When the two were one, a divorce was granted because of the hardness of man's heart. Instead of killing his wife because he wanted to replace her, he was granted a divorce decree. I have three things to say, and I've written them down. Number one, the life partner contract is like a prenuptial contract to divide assets if couples part. However, marriage is more than a piece of paper. It was instituted by the Creator, and the Creator come up with a contract, but a marriage license has the power of the city, county, and the state. And no matter how long a couple have been shacked up and how many children they have together, the marriage license is connected with Social Security and other governmental rules, and it has standing. And a written or verbal life partners contract does not, under American law, and what is needed under American law, and we are in America. Number three, what is needed today is respect for the first teacher, your mother, and to enter into this world on a truth foot, because we need the truth that will make us free from the satanic system of subordination, and we should of subordination, and we should enter into this world on a truth foot. On August 28th, I had an Earth Day birthday. I know no lie can live forever, and we say my birth. Oh, I'm sorry. Back and change feeling born. Your mother did the birth, and she did the labor, and she did the work. And what's more, you were alive inside of her for 9 months before she did the labor, the birthing, and the work. And when we come into this world, we'll say, we still won't respect the mother. That is your original Mother's Day. It's when she became your mother, not the second Monday, Sunday in May. And the facts of the matter are women have been so beaten down until they've given credit to a bird, say a stork brought you. They've given credit to a vegetable, say you were found in a cabbage patch. But the fact of the matter is if she's got five children, she's got five Mother's Day presents coming her way for doing the birthing, the labor, and the work.
Thanks,
but
your mother.
Want to resist. They want to resist. They'll say my neighbor day, where you miss it. They want to say my Earth Day, where you miss it. They want to say my born day, where you miss it. Earth Day, birthday.
Well, Mama D, as I recall, you're 77 years wise, right? Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, that's a powerful number, 77. We got to take some more calls, Mama D, but I want to say a belated happy birthday. I got your gift. We'll see. We'll get together later.
Your birthday gift.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, we got to get another call because we only got a few more minutes left, and I got a couple more points. Let me read the rest of this and then get you all. And she made some points, of course. It's about the soul. So if you are looking for your soulmate, then you should trust your soulmate to be, and they should trust you enough to put what you agree to in writing. Simple. But let's deal with this last part, because this, a lot of people have brought up divorce and what happens. And this, I want to say, is a free will agreement. However, if you are intending to remain together and you don't want to break up a family, this gives you options. So listen carefully, and we're going to take calls to get your response. Husband and wife agree that this contract is a non-exclusive free will agreement for mutual, spiritual, emotional, financial support, and the establishment of the bonds of family. Husband and wife agree that either partner is free to establish a life partner contract with another individual while this life partner contract remains in force. In other words, you don't necessarily have to divorce if you wish to add. That's an option. Husband and wife agree that any additional life partner contracts entered into with any other individual will be governed by the same standards and guidelines and will not nullify this agreement between the undersigned parties. Husband and wife agree in the event that an unresolvable conflict arises between them to seek assistance through designated arbiters whose purpose will be to advise, counsel, and aid in the reconciliation and resolution of conflict between husband and wife. This life partner contract shall remain in force until if any such time should occur that it is mutually agreed to dissolve the partnership. At that time, husband and wife agree to part amicably and to each reclaim all assets originally brought into the partnership, to divide 50-50 all mutually acquired property, assets, or the cash value thereof, to share 50-50 in the parenting and maintenance of all children resulting from their union who are still of minor age at the time of the dissolution of this contract, and to sign a dissolution of life partnership contract with no further obligation deemed necessary. Husband and wife agree to publicly announce the establishment of this life partnership contract at a mutually approved ceremony for the purpose of establishing official ties with members of their families and sharing the celebration of this life partnership with family members, friends, and associates. We, the undersigned, agree to the above and affix our signatures hereto. Husband, signature, printed name and date. Wife, signature, printed name and date. So that is the totality of the contract, and something that Mama D mentioned about Social Security and all of that, you can designate who is going to be your bishop beneficiary. You still have all the legal means to establish who's going to get your assets upon death. You can still do that. This doesn't negate that. But what this does is perhaps keep people from getting divorced if they really still love each other and are just having some difficulties. There's a clause in there where you can have an arbiter to help you, and their intention is to help you get back together. A lawyer's intention is to try to get you to divorce so they can get paid. So this is one of the reasons why we advocate for an agreement that's intentioned to build family and not destroy families. So, Brother Kim, do you have a caller? I've got a caller on the line. I've got two callers.
Okay, we have one caller here on this line. Error code 314-833. Assalamu alaikum. Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Kareem Hamid, and to you, Naeem Latif, and to both of your very distinguished, esteemed platforms, Female Solution and AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. I waited so long on the other platform. I said, well, I know I was one of the first ones. I said, I'll try AM 360 to get in, and I know we're at the end, and usually would happen like that. But let me say this first and foremost. All what I've heard up until the last of this, and I want to say to this, to Naeema, you know, I operate learning labs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what is being proposed, it shouldn't be just run through. I'm just saying on national radio. It should be run through.
Mm.
You should take the time and go through that. And I know it's a different platform. It's not a learning lab, so it's getting opinions of people and all. This is a different platform. But it is so important that you should take the time and have a real discussion. And I want to just say, I agree up until the last thing that was said. And I can't go into the details because you won't be able to allow me the time to do that. But I also want to say that Sister Gail established very important points. And so did Kareem Hamid. And I'm not saying that because they're Muslims. I'm saying because they spoke the truth. And one of the things is that when you talk about a higher consciousness, you're talking about being God conscious. There's no other higher consciousness. Being conscious of God's word, his will, and his way for the construction of human life. This has nothing to do with just being Muslim, Christian, or Jew. This has to be with true human beings. If we acknowledge that there is one creator, and if I just ask a rhetorical question, do you think, and I'm not asking this question for anybody to answer, I'm asking this question for to be thought-provoking. Do you think the creator would create his creation without an aim and a purpose and not having any purpose for the creation and then just will leave the creation with no guidance? No guidance. Do you think that? And do you think that the creator would know in terms of not only past, present, but future? One of the things that Kareem was saying, and I just want to reiterate that, the Quran is not a history book. It is not just based on the life of the prophet 1,400 years ago. You see? This is what we have to, and when he asked the question, have you read the Quran? But I'll go a little bit deeper. Not only have you read the Quran, but have you understood the Quran? I could take you into the Quran in the fourth chapter.
I know you could, Brother Mark. We got one more call.
Yeah, I know, but let me just say this.
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
You can wrap it up like 20 seconds.
Okay, let me say this. And for it's the distribution, it actually gives the percentages what is due to each family member. So here's Allah just showing that how you keep the family bond unity. But we have to respect these two institutions. Those two institutions is the institution of family life and also marriage life. There's a lot to be said. Don't rush through it. Take the time and let's go through it. And let's see what scripture says in regards to this.
Well, you know, maybe we can do that next week. And you can come on and help us with that.
I would love to do that. I hope you invite me.
Well, let's do that next week then.
Let's do that.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. All right, we got 111. And I do want to say, you know, the creator is in our heart. You know, we're not left to guess. And this is what prayer is all about, connecting with your creator. So we are given guidance. Everyone, regardless of whether you're religious, not religious, Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever you are or nothing at all, you have access to the creator and divine understanding if you seek it. So in that way, we are all equal. We all have equal access to the Creator, regardless of whether we have a book in our hands or not. But if we have the book, we need to make sure our hearts are pure and the desire to do right by each other. So let me go to 111111. I'm trying not to go over because y'all be trying to keep us for 2, 3, 4 hours. But I love y'all. But we got a couple of minutes. So 111111, I believe you're going to have the last word. Go right ahead.
Graham Ryerson, good morning, and hallelujah greetings to everyone. Masterful program. You know what's interesting is this. Love is a gift. Contract or no contract, the sad part is love is a gift. If you love on somebody, society makes the mistake. When people love on you, they make you better as a person. And love is such a gift, it allows you to radiate more love towards the outer people around you. So love is not monolithic. When somebody loves you, they give you a gift. And you go out in the world and you share that gift with others. Love can be so powerful in its own way. I was 19 with my first girlfriend, and she was 31. I'm now 66. We are best of friends, even from way back then, because if you build a relationship on friendship and love, it will last forever. So the last piece is this. When people get married, I've seen it where they break up, separate, and all that. The minute somebody's sick or getting ready to die, they try to come back together to make it work. Why do it like that? Why not just be love all the time? But remember, love is a gift, and it spreads abroad. You can't stop love. So if you love on me, more people are going to love me, and I'm going to love more people. Love is what makes the world go round. Hey, I appreciate you.
But thank you so much, my brother. That was a wonderful final word on this topic. I mean, indeed. And I think we got maybe another comment or two from Facebook. And let me see. Oh, and let's see. Zelda says, humanitarian. Mayoral candidate Dr. Willie Wilson says, today is the official start of petition gathering for the mayor election. Please sign my petition to run for mayor. Our goal is to show support from all 77 communities. Please register to vote. Yes, Zelda, we're going to handle our brother, Dr. Willie Wilson. Viata says, Creator guides us through our experiences on earth, which are meant to be lessons, and the Bible and Quran are basic instructions before leaving earth. Yes. Guidance. Okay. And Beata says the word love needs to be defined for each individual. And Zelda says, thanks, Naima. Thank you, Zelda. Well, we are going to continue talking about working out a way that we can create family structures that can be loving, like our last caller says, based in love. Love is not something forced. So it doesn't have to be enforced. It is from the heart. It's from the Creator. And this is why marriages based on love will work. And if you are following a holy book, you follow it because of love, not force. And you follow it because you want the best for your partner. Thank you so much, Brother Green.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
Thank you for using.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.